My name is Jacob Trumbull, and I am conducting an oral history interview as part of an effort to archive the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on individuals and communities in the Midwest. For both the Western Wisconsin COVID-19 archive, as well as the Journal of the Plague Year archive. Today's date is April 21st, 2021 at 4:04 p.m. As of now, there have been 31.6 million COVID-19 cases in the U.S. and 565,000 deaths. In Wisconsin, there have been 592,000 cases and 6,721 deaths. And currently, 26% of the U.S. population is fully vaccinated. Today, I will be speaking with Holly Trumbull from Hudson, Wisconsin. Holly, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
So to start off, where do you live?
Well, I live in Hudson, Wisconsin, and it's 15 miles east of St. Paul, Minnesota, the Twin Cities.
And do you mind sharing your demographic information?
Sure. So I'm married, four children, white, not Hispanic or Latino. 56 years old. Anything else you need to know?
And a woman.
Oh, female. Sorry.
And what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Currently, I am unemployed, so I'm looking for a job. And I'm also caretaker for my father. So... once a week I do that. Lot of chores around the house is what we do now.
When you first learned about COVID, what were your thoughts about it?
Kinda knew it was gonna be big. When I was looking for a job, there was parent company over in France that suddenly pulled all of their job postings. And that was in January already. So knowing that it had been around in China for over a month at that point, we figured it was going to be something big.
So I'm assuming your thoughts haven't really changed much since then.
No.
Yeah.
Still big.
Yeah. What issues about the pandemic have concerned you the most?
I think the variants, never knowing, making sure that the vaccinations still work for all the variants has been a huge plus. Getting everyone vaccinated has been good. So it's been good. Things are opening back up.
So you've been unemployed. How has COVID affected your employment status in trying to get back into work?
Kind of difficult because there's not a lot of jobs in my field that are open. And a lot of those, I think companies are hesitant to try and onboard someone new from outside the company. So it's been a struggle, and I continue to look, because I was unemployed just prior to the pandemic, and I'm still unemployed and still looking, so.
And what is your job field?
I was an electronic data interchange specialist, so what that does, and it's in information technology department, we handle the electronic file transfers in and out of a company, making sure that the data that comes in or goes out is valid and in the proper formats that it needs to be in. So I was also doing validation maps and translation maps. So if the data comes in that's not in the right format that we needed, you write a translation map to put it into the format that's needed, and that way you're also able to track if pertinent information is missing or not, and then you're working with your customers to get that corrected.
What concerns do you have about the effects of COVID on your employment and more broadly the economy in general?
I think things are starting to open up. It's interesting to see the companies, a lot of the larger companies are okay with people working remotely. And which is a good thing for my part, since I would be, a lot of jobs would be unreachable where I am at, if it wasn't the ability to be able to work remotely. So I'm able to apply for positions around the United States, not just in my centralized area. Even though those are still few and far between, it's still opened up more possibilities.
Has the pandemic affected the employment of people you know?
Absolutely. There was a number of people in the company that I worked for, about 20% of the workforce was laid off prior to the pandemic. And a lot of those people, once their severance package ran out, it was right at the beginning of a few months into the pandemic. So a lot of the older people just took regular non-technical jobs, not in their field, because they were finding that it was very difficult to find a position where they would train someone who was 60, 62 years old. So they are now working. A lot of them are working either at, like a Home Depot or a Menards, or some of them have just decided they're going to try and make it and retire early. So they're buckling down, not going anywhere. Maybe their spouse is still working, so they didn't need to have health care. So they're just going forward, and it's hard. It's hard, but they're making it work.
And how has COVID affected you or your family's day-to-day activities?
Well, I think that going out and about and visiting sisters, kids, stopped. It stopped. So, at least for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's back open. For the most part, we're still managing to get together once in a while, just in small groups, quick dinners here and there. So it's been doable.
And working as a hospital care worker in order to see your father in the nursing home.
Correct. Right. COVID checks every week, making sure they're negative. Even though I'm fully vaccinated, which I do have my card. So, fully vaccinated. So getting out, having to be tested, everything's been good. So it's very good.
And when did you get vaccinated?
I got my first shot, which is Moderna, in January, and then the second one in February 11th. So then they said 2 weeks after that, we should be fully immune, hopefully, up to the 93% or whatever that it's effective.
Yeah.
So it's been good.
How are you managing day-to-day activities in your household?
That didn't change much. Outside of having pets, they are really needy. And every time you go out the door, they expect to go with you. because they've been going with us for the last year. So it'll be an interesting change if we suddenly get jobs outside of the household. What happens with the pets having to be cooped up for, 8, 10, 11 hours a day again, in the future, but we'll see. Yard work is getting done. It's kind of one of those things where you like to go outside nowadays just to be outside, because sitting up cooped up in the house is kind of boring. Yep.
Has the outbreak affected how you associate and communicate with friends and family?
I have sisters spread out, a little bit spread out. One was living in Texas for the winter. One lives in Georgia. So Zoom calls are what we try and do. Not very frequent, but every once in a while. That also is what you do with some friends or some groups that we used to meet together. So Zoom has been very good.
What have been the biggest challenges that you have faced during this outbreak?
Biggest challenges. I think trying to keep, because I work with Boy Scouts, just trying to keep troop activities kind of going, has been really difficult, because we have been under the state of Minnesota rules, and they were in more of a lockdown position than what we were in Wisconsin. So it was an interesting contrast to see the difference between the two states and how the houses, representatives handled the pandemic requirements. So
especially on the border of two states.
Correct. Yep. It's a difference. Our restaurants have been open, was reduced for a while, but then they opened up a lot faster than what Minnesota's did. But what that did is it drove a lot of Minnesotans just to cross over the border to come over and have dinner or have lunch. So it really benefited our state and the border cities in Wisconsin than what it did for, because the people in Minnesota were still out and about. So
what have your family and friends done for recreation during the pandemic?
So I have a few friends that I've kind of kept in contact where we, make sure neither of us are sick. Because I've been going for weekly COVID checks, making sure that I am not contagious or that my test is negative, I'll meet a friend or two for lunch that I haven't seen in a long time. We're still kind of distance. We're at least sitting across the table from each other. But then I also have friends that will not even want to see us in person until they're fully vaccinated. And that's fine.
How has the COVID outbreak affected your community?
I think here in Hudson, a lot of the activities that we were doing for a community basis were non-existent in 2020. We had the hot air fair here this past February, but there was no one allowed down on the field near the hot air balloons. So you could admire balloons from afar. And that, that's different, because some of those hot air balloonists would sell rides and no rides were allowed. Other things that were going on is shopping even in downtown Hudson. There were limits on the number of people that could be in the store at the same time, or groups of people going to eat at the same time if they were open. And I think a lot of businesses really struggled with how to keep their business open, fresh and new with all those restrictions that were going on. And that was, but in Hudson, it didn't last as long again as it did over in Minnesota. So that was a good thing.
How are people around you respond to the pandemic?
So we have a neighbor who works at a senior center. So he totally avoided everyone for 6 months. We saw him pulling out. We saw him coming back home. But with, you know, no vaccine, you had to make sure you were safe.
Especially
other people.
Yep.
So other people, you just wave from afar, say hi, make sure everyone's okay. Yep. So, yeah.
Have you seen people around you change their opinions or activities in response to the pandemic?
I think a few neighbors are really tired of it. They just want to have it over with. And I think once they're vaccinated, people were starting to come out of their shell. We're still socially distancing, making sure we're not spreading things. But starting to see some more neighbors and having some discussions. But yeah, they're over the restrictions for sure.
Have you or anybody you know gotten sick from the COVID-19 strain?
A few people have gotten sick. The neighbor who works at the senior center was sick, him and his wife. Not too bad, but they were down, you know, for 3 weeks. 1 week being sick and then 2 weeks still quarantining afterwards. I had one cousin who actually passed away from it, but he was 71, and developed other issues when he was in the hospital. So, yeah. But those were the only ones I really knew that had it. Handful. You know, minimal. Scoutmaster now has it, which was kind of surprising to hear that. So they're in week two of their quarantine. So, yeah. But that's what you do. Just totally avoid everyone and then keeps the rest of us safe, which is good.
In what ways do you think that the pandemic has affected people's mental or physical health?
Physical health, I think we're going to see a rise in illnesses, cancers, heart attacks, simply because people have not been going to the doctor. I haven't been going to the doctor. You know, I don't feel it's safe yet. And if I'm not feeling sick, I'm not going to go. Mentally, it's a strain. It's hard to, you know, keep your spirits up when it's, you know, 15 below, not going outside much, but being able to go outside now has been great. It's good weather. It helps.
Have you or anyone you know had questions or concerns about the vaccine?
No, I'm glad the vaccines are all out. So, yep, We're all good.
Yeah. And you yourself received the vaccine. You haven't had any side effects or any of that?
Just the sore arm. And that was, you know, when a couple of my siblings also had the vaccine, that's all they had too. So, you know, just a sore arm. So just being prepared for it was good. And then anyone else that was feeling not well, it was, 24 to 48 hours and then done, good. You know, I have a friend who has it and he is thirsty all the time. You know, so he just drinks a lot of water and that's fine. Hopefully it subsides at some point, but could be worse things being parched.
And what was your experience getting access to the vaccine? Make an appointment?
Mine was really easy because I'm a caregiver for my father. They over in Minnesota, they offered shots the same days. They opened a shot clinic the same days that they were doing the residents there. So that was good. It worked even with me living in Wisconsin. They were more than happy to, you know, let me do the shot.
What have been your primary sources of news during the pandemic?
I do watch the nightly news. Usually it's Fox News. And I read the Sunday paper, kind of catching up on different things. I do like the nightly news is just to catch up, to find out the counts, see where it's breaking out. Some of the, you know, like the Eau Claire station at least gives us the counts by county, which is nice. So knowing that most of Wisconsin's illnesses are over, you know, in the Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay area and not, you know, so on the east side of the state, not west side of the state, has been okay with me. So.
Have your news sources changed during the course of the pandemic at all?
No, I still prefer Fox News over many of the others. It's just who I was getting used to listening to. And that's what I listen to. So yeah, but I do listen to more of the local Minneapolis stations than I do, you know, the Eau Claire stations. It's a little more lively information coming out of Minnesota, and Minnesota also get reports Wisconsin state numbers of the COVID deaths and positive cases. So that's good.
Do you think there have been any important issues over the course of the pandemic that the media may not have been covering?
I think that the COVID was taking center stage for a very, very long time. But being so close to Minneapolis, and having other issues that arose, the news really took a turn, for the, Black Lives Matter, police brutality, and watching protests and watching, you know, looting and vandalism, and I think that's hard to watch because in a COVID situation, you're seeing a lot of people doing very reckless things. And I don't know if they ever did any statistics on the groups of protesters, only because I don't think if they stated they were in a large group of people and it spread, that I don't think those people were reporting that. But having larger counts in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area, which is definitely near me, was kind of surprising. But you just don't go into the areas that you think are going to be COVID, more COVID response. Yeah. More COVID possibilities over there. So, yeah.
How have municipal and local government officials in your community respond to the outbreak?
I'm actually receiving on a weekly basis information from the Chamber of Commerce here in Hudson, and they talk about if businesses need help getting restarted or with masks and hand sanitizers, you know, to let the Chamber of Commerce know. The Chamber also lets the community know if the governor has changed any mandates, and then says, you know, that St. Croix County or City of Hudson are following, or they're doing something separate. At this point, St. Croix County is issued a mask mandate, which they have every right to do. So, we still see a lot of signs all over the place saying masks are required, and that's perfectly fine. I totally understand until this is totally squashed and we get the, what they call the herd immunity out. I'm okay with staying extra protected.
Do you think any local, state, or federal leaders could have responded to the crisis differently than they had?
Or could they have responded differently? I think being this close to Minnesota, I think the governor in Minnesota kept too many businesses closed for too long of a time. It wasn't financially possible for a business to open at 25% capacity. It made more sense for them to shut down so they wouldn't lose money. Because how do you count on only 25% of patrons to come in? And if they're worried about not getting sick, they're not going out. So it was an all or nothing, you know, kind of deal. And it was hard to watch a lot of that, because even here in Hudson, when it was at 50%, I think people really didn't need to turn anyone away, because I don't think they were even at 50% capacity when they could be. You know, I think the governors should have done it a little differently and not ordered the whole state to act one way. I think it should have been either by county or by city municipalities controlling it. So
totally based off the area.
Yep, totally based off the area. Yeah. Like they were doing for the schools. Yep.
And the people in those areas decide how they
Yep.
do it. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. That's what I think.
Has your experience transformed how you think about your family, friends, and community?
I think it brought everyone closer, because you only had the opportunity to see a handful of people. I think family was the first ones you were seeing, you know? So, yeah. Closer. It was good.
Knowing what you know now, what do you think individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future in case there's ever another pandemic like this one?
I suppose if there's another pandemic, hopefully they've done enough studies to see in what areas they needed more, I want to say, policing of the virus. How can they get businesses, how can they assist businesses to stay open? And not just bars and restaurants, but all kinds of businesses. A lot of daycares had to shut down, because now the people aren't working. They're working from home, so their kids are home. And I hope that, you know, in the future, we have this basis of a vaccine. That it's not going to take, I mean, it was a short time. I granted 9 months is phenomenal to get a vaccine developed. But at least you have a basis now for going forward if, you know, this type of pandemic hits again or if there's a variant that needs to be taken into consideration that we are going to go forward and we'll probably end up with COVID, annual COVID shots to hopefully keep at bay the COVID-19 or whatever variants, just as we do with the flu shots. So I think it's important.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and your perspectives. Have a good day.
All right.